And to introduce our first speaker, it's Dean F. from Manic Monday Group, came all the way from Baltimore. So let's give him a warm welcome.
I'm Dean Amadi.
Hey, Dean.
Let me thank Steve, Ari, for having this event. You know, it's good to be out here, man. I kind of like remember this convention called Almost Heaven.
Yeah.
Out in Front Royal, Virginia. You know, and it's getting away this week, man, was so important because I've been around it for a while, but sometimes the stress on life terms, man, it gets to you, right? And it's coming up 70 all the way through the mountains, man. You know what I mean? And connecting with my creator, the God of my understanding, right? Because when I first got here, I didn't have a relationship with God or higher power. I didn't grow up in a religious background, none of that stuff, right? You know what I mean? So, like, nature was good for me when I got here. You know what I mean? Good orderly direction was good for me. Right? And I'm driving up through the mountains, man. Look at them trees and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It allowed me to get somewhat emotionally balanced. You know, I've been here for a while, so it took me about 15 years in the process to really understand how important 10, 11, 12 is. You know what I mean? Because, you know, more is at stake now. You know what I mean? I'm at a point where my mother got dementia. And the dementia just came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? She was doing fine for a long time, man. You know what I mean? Out of nowhere, she started walking, getting lost. Started driving the car, man. She lost the car for, we ain't find that bitch yet. It's been a month. You know what I mean? She getting delusional, where though she's talking to other people and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And sometimes I take that moment to get by myself, man, right? Because my disease is telling me I'm doing worse than what I'm really doing. You know what I mean? They told me when I first got here, man, the 10th step is like having a spiritual thermometer, man, like to see where you at, right? That living the program, a pamphlet is important when you first get here, right? But I don't know about nobody else, man. The desperation was so bad when I got here, man. You didn't have to tell me to go to a meeting every day, man, to interact with an addict, you know what I mean, to get involved in service, man. Some of that stuff became natural to me, man, right? But what was important is getting to the step process, man, right? Because the fourth step had to really come, right, so I can get in touch with myself in four, right, to have, like have 10 really be meaningful, right? So I can make the adjustments within myself, you know what I mean, in my 10th step process. Now, because I'm up here, you know what I mean? And as I sit down and get myself together, man, the first thing I get a call is my little sister, man, that told me, man, my mother walked off and we don't know where she at. I'm up here. So initially, man, I started panicking, right? But the 11th step, a short form of meditation, man, Tom told me early on in my process, man, was breathing God and blow out the defect. Breathing God and blow out the defect. Breathe in God and blow the defect, man, and get emotionally balanced, man, so you can make a better decision, man. You know what I mean? Because my disease, man, will have me go all the way back down 70, man. You can get down there 3 hours later, but you drive your ass all the way down 70, man, and not accomplish shit, man, because you panic. Fear is still evident in my life. Fear is still prevalent. It just masks itself up in different ways. So I'm breathing in God. I'm up here, I got a phone, you know, and thank God I'm financially stable to where I could do stuff for my mother. So I got a phone, and it's an iPhone, and I could track her down, and I know where she at. But I'm up in the mountains, Steve, you know what I mean? I ain't got no fucking reception. You know what I mean? The disease is going crazy, man. Leave. I'm calling them up, you know what I mean? I can't find them. You know what I mean? Now what's happening, man, though I can't find them, DJ, right? That's why I do a fourth step, man, to make it meaningful, right? I become real frustrated, impatient, you know what I mean? People saying things to me, right? And I had to kind of get myself grounded, right, in my 10th step, right? And the sit back, say, Dean, just get in your car, try to drive until you can get a reception. Drove down the street. Went down the street a few blocks. I started getting reception. You know what I mean? Tracked my mother down on the phone. like sending location to my little sister, and she found my mother. And I was able to sit here and enjoy the convention, right? And what I learned is, man, you know, because dementia for me, man, it's something new in this process, man. You know what I mean? I ain't get him. I never thought I would see dementia, man. I never thought I'd live to see 21 where I use drugs. I thought they'd be burying me. I wouldn't be like the caretaker at this point. Right. I knew that was God's will for me. Right? I'm tired. I woke up the other morning, man. You know what I mean? So stressed out and messed up sometimes, dirt. You know what I mean? My disease said, you know what? You got a girlfriend down in Florida that you see regularly. Right? You got a pension because you didn't work long enough, right? You know what I mean? You got 5 more years to get a full pension. Just collect half your pension, man. You know what I mean? Move down Florida with the girl, man, and just run away. That's the easy way out. But somebody, when you stay around here, man, you develop that conscience. Because the 11th step, I'm trying to find the God within, right? Whereas though my conscience started to guide me, man. And somebody, when you stay around here, you start to understand your assignment. I know the girl down in Florida ain't no good for me, man. You know what I mean? We may match up sexually good, right? But that's it. There's some things about our character, man, I know I don't like, man. You understand what I'm saying? If I gotta change you to be who I want you to be, man, that's not God's will for you to be in my life. Wow. If it's God's will to be in my life, man, look, it will go naturally, Steve. It's something about when you start having some courage. Look, sometimes, man, you gotta have some courage around here, man, and let some things go, man, right? Because most times, man, I'm in the way of God's will, man, through my self-centeredness, man, through my ego, man, through my lust, man, through my arrogance, man. All them things, man, block me, man, from my creator. One thing about this process, man, it's impossible to hear from God if you still listen to yourself. Right. And being there for my mother, man. You know what I mean? Oftentimes, man, my little sister will call me and she's like, Dan, I got frustrated with mom, you know what I mean? Because she done something and I yelled at her. To her, when she say that, I said, you know what? We never saw dementia before in our family. We new to this thing, man. We're going to keep trying and we're going to keep getting better. Man, it's easy to practice empathy with a goddamn newcomer, man, but practice that shit at home. I've been around long enough, man, at some point, man, my feet got to match up with my mouth. So if you never seen dementia before, man, just keep doing the best you can. Something about where you can start having empathy, man, in your own family, man, start encouraging your own family, man. You know what I mean? You know, I went to pick my mother up Sunday, man, to take her to breakfast, man. You know what I mean? She went to get some blood work done at the lab. It was on a Sunday, man. I knew that the lab was closed, but she wanted to go to the lab. I put it in my truck, gently. Drove her to the lab. The lab was closed. Took her to breakfast, right? And let her be where she was at emotionally. Right? Because sometimes, man, when they're going through their little blackouts and stuff like that, when you bring them around too quick, man, they realize where they at, man, in their life, man, and they get emotional and start breaking down. You be causing harm, don't even know you're causing harm, man. You know what I mean? The best teacher in this process, man, has been my experience. Mm-hmm. Not what it says on in the basic text on page 26. It's been my experience, man. You know what I mean? The steps begin to help guide me through the process, man. Give me the principles to practice, man. You know what I mean? I learned about humility, man. You know what I mean? Going through the process, man. But what humbled my ass, man, was life on life's terms. I don't know if you've been around here for a while, man. The way it's though, man, you start taking credit for God's work like you're doing every goddamn thing. Now, I came around here, man. Things came quickly, man. The good union job, you know what I mean, with the Teamsters, man, making a whole bunch of money, you know what I mean? All them things came quickly to me, man. You know what I mean? Got custody of my son, you know what I mean? Terry used to plat my son here. My mama Terry used to plat my son here in the meeting, man. My son was 1 year old coming to meetings, man. You know what I mean? He knew the liturgy by the time he was 10, man. You know what I mean? The people used to come pick their key tags up. My little son was a baby this big, so I'm like, keep coming back, keep coming back. You know what I mean? I had to have my son going all across the country, man, coming this message, man, because I was a single dad, man. I couldn't let nothing divert me from my primary purpose, man. And I still found balance, man, to get involved in wrestling and stuff like that, man. You understand what I'm saying, man? There's something about when you start going in, man, through your past, man, and start living your present, man, because there was times we'd be in wrestling, man, he'd get body slammed on a mat, Dirk, but Dirk, man, Dirk would be out there, and he'd start crying at sheep 10 years old, man. And my ego, like, I know he ain't fucking crying. He'd be embarrassing me.
Yeah.
Self-centered motherfucker. And having to go reach out and pull that little boy out from the past so he can live in the present. I don't come from intimacy. My mother ain't kissed and hugged me and tell me that she loved me. Ain't nobody tell me that you had a nice day, man. I come from, you's a stupid motherfucker, man. You better get the fuck up, you better not cry. I come from that, man. I come from a place of trauma, man. I don't know about no healthy when I got, man. It was imperative that I come work the motherfucking steps when I got, man. I don't know how you live around here and not work the steps. I come from trauma. It don't matter what did I buy, man. I could buy a brand new truck, brand new shirt, man. You're still at 1976 stuck on your back and the little boy still be running the show around here. You won't even know it, man, because the denial is so thick. Turkey. I had to pull that little motherfucker out. Bring a little Dean out to the mat. Come pick my little son off of the mat. Rub the tears out of his eyes. Kiss him in his face. I said, you're going to be all right, man. We're going to make it. That's what going in started doing for me, Steve. I start breaking the patterns, man, start living in the present. You know what I'm saying? I start building self-esteem and self-worth in my son. I'm telling you, my son is in the Air Force right now down in Fort Worth, Texas, as a result of this program. Everything that I got, man, is a result of this program, man, by doing work. So I put my mother in the car, drive it. We get the ass closed, you know what I mean? And I said, it's okay, babe. We got time. We got all day. And I turned my mother to look at me. All the mind that she lost. She forgot my motherfucking clean date, though. She still don't know my clean date. She be saying shit like, Steve, I can't believe, man, what them NA people done to your ass, man. I can't believe that you my son, man. I live in West Baltimore, man. I would come outside, man, right in front of my mother's house, man. Had the whole motherfucking corner lined up, man. Hitting everybody's pockets, man, while my mother would walk by. That's where I come from. One thing about this process. God, we don't need your permission to change you. Or needs your corroboration. God moved a mountain, but you got to bring the shovel. Willingness is everything in this process. Right? And she was in the truck, right? Right, Kevin? She grabbed me by my face. She said, I love you. I started kissing. And I never had intimacy like that before. I was wondering why all my romantic relationships, man, will be messed up. Right, because I still was trapped with the trauma that happened from my mother. It's 2024, but you can stay around here and still be in 1980. Once I was able to heal that, I was able to live in the present, right, and do what God got for me, man. God gave me everything in me, man, to get through what I gotta get through, man. You understand what I'm saying, man? And when she started kissing on me and stuff like that, man, you know what I mean? I started crying instantaneously, Dirk, right? Because I forgot how important it was, man, to have the love and approval of my mother, man. When I first got here, man, my spirit was frozen, man. I lost the ability to feel, man. You know what I mean? I masked up, man, and put so much shit on top of me, man. So many defects of character, man. I couldn't feel no more, man. It's almost like I was a demo copper pipe, man. You know what I mean? Back in the day, right? I was the demo copper pipe, man, and take it to the scrap yard, right? But I would leave the insulation on top of the copper pipe, man, because I was too lazy to take the insulation off. And I would turn the pipe in, there was no value to it. At one time, the insulation was used to protect the pipe, but now there's no value. The same thing around here, man. The things that used to protect me back in the day has no value no more. And once I began to rip that layer of insulation off and get to the pure copper, That's the pure pipe. That's your true value in here, man. It's inside of you. Right? When your spirit, man, your spiritual condition, man, begin to guide you. Right? I became a personal trainer here. I ain't see that shit coming, Steve. Became a personal trainer. So I'm in the gym quite frequently working out, you know what I mean, working out. You know what I mean? As a preacher, there's a lot of pastors, a lot of people in gyms, you know what I mean? You know, they keep their hand number and stuff like that. You're getting a kicker with them, you're getting to meet people. So a guy at the church, I mean at the gym, is a pastor at the church I used to go to. But the church don't mess with no addicts, right? Because sometimes the stigma we leave when we leave the church. We have events at church, man, we don't clean up properly, you know what I mean? We leave it worse than what we got it, you know what I mean? So a lot of times, man, when we come to the churches, man, to try the events, man, you know what I mean? Now, we don't want you any people there, bam, because I got a stigma there. That's how it is in Baltimore City. I don't know how it is out here. So I'm in the gym, working out, and my spirit. 11th step, we learn to listen to the God within to guide us. My spirit say, man, ask them, can we have an NA meeting over on Park Heights and Shirley, where you grew up at? But my mind turns, say, man, they don't fuck with NA people. They not gonna let y'all in there, man, because y'all done walked over too many times, man. They not gonna let y'all in there, man. Most times, man, I can't listen to the calling through my ears, man. I gotta look at the evidence God put in front of my face in 11. The knowledge and the power to carry it out. I said, you think we have a meeting in the church? He said, sure, Dean, on what days would you like? You never know who's watching you in the 12th step. You know what I mean? This, I ain't even gonna say this to say anything, man, because it takes some work to really carry a step meeting or tradition meeting. Everybody can't do this shit. People be saying that shit, right? Then when you get them in front of 10,000 people in Chicago on a Saturday night, they fucking freeze up, you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of responsibility to carry the fucking message. It takes some fucking work. It ain't easy to fucking look all the time. Right? And what I learned, Steve, man, when goodwill begin to govern your heart, God will govern your life. Right? And we got a meeting, man, right down Park Heights and Shirley. I got another one we're going to open up right on Baltimore and Fulton Street. You know, right in the heart of the city. Mm-hmm. You come to my home group, man, on a Sunday, man, you may see prostitution, man. You may see people pushing what you call carts around, you know what I mean, with TVs in it, you know what I mean? You may see people hitting in the hole, all that shit when you come in my home group, man. But when you walk in the meeting, man, you get that key tag, man, the whole rim going to blow up, man, start screaming and hollering, man, the roof going to blow up, man, and we're going to hug you, man, let me know that we love you. I ain't scared to hug you like I'm gonna catch what you got. I already got it. The disease. That's what binds us together. That's what binds us together. Right? I had another treatment facility call me up one day, right after the pandemic. Right? Because, you know, we kind of related to facilities, you know, H&R work all these years, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Going into them hospitals, detox centers, man. It was only you and two people in a bed, you know what I mean? All that stuff, man. You know what I mean? You go in there and carry the message, man. That's the end of the program. Treatment facility called me up. You know what I mean? He said, hey, Dean, if you can come and give a message of hope, man, to the guys in here. We got 300 people, men out here, man. Can you come carry the message? I go down there and carry the message, Darky. I go down there and share. As I get finished sharing, man, the director of the facility said, Dean, what you think about opening up an NA meeting right here for the men and have outside people coming in? The biggest facility in Baltimore City. I do it from the heart. They offer me jobs, they all that shit, man. I do it from the heart, man. The biggest payoff I can get right here, man, is a spiritual payoff, man. When I get that shit away, you understand what I'm saying, man? When I get that shit away, man, I'm constantly peeling my onion, man. When I'm sitting down, man, doing 4 steps. When I'm sitting down doing 5th steps, man. You understand what I'm saying? I understand, man, God ain't saved me, man. You know what I mean? I'm an addict, man, that he plucked off the corner, picked me back up, blew the dust off me, man, and put and my lungs, man, and put me right back where I fell at. Bam! It says, show him my word. Show him my word. Right? And we was having speaker jams down there every month, you know what I mean? We had the whole East Coast down there, bitch, you know what I mean? We'd be about 2,000 people on a Saturday, man, by Harbor East, man, about 1,000 people, man, inside the facility, man, people all outside the facility, man, you know what I mean, just fellowshipping, man, networking, man, you know what I'm saying, man, a lot of times, man, we drive great distances, man, right, because we love this fellowship, man, we love this program, man. I can't continue to tell you, man, how much this program, man, has done for me, has changed my life, man. You know what I mean? I got a guy, my sponsor, for a long time. You know what I mean? He would fire me every year. Once a year, he would fire me. Every year, I would tell his ass the truth about himself. You know what I mean? The answer's in the motherfucking steps, man. We could talk all day. You know what I mean? You're going to get a change. You know what I mean? You got to go through the step and the tradition process, man. It don't come through osmosis. You got to put the fucking work in. There's been some sponsees, man, that never grasped this thing, used that one more time, and left here. And left here. And I had to go to that funeral and look at him in that casket and see what the disease won again. Right? But over standing over that casket, I ain't have no shame or guilt. Right? Because I've ever tell you the truth about yourself. Then flatter your ass, man, to stand on top of your fucking grave wishing what I would have said to you. Mm-hmm. You could walk right here, man, and live with shame and guilt, man, because I don't have the courage. I'm too busy trying to be friends, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, we got a welcome you can do come and be that for him, man. You know what I mean? But we still got the courage at some point, man, to let him know the fucking truth, man. That's the fucking steps is the way, man. We all human and stuff like that, man. Of course, man, right? But when you going out messed up, man, we need to kind of like, you know, let me know. I got men I sponsor, man, he let me know. You understand what I'm saying? I'ma leave here, go home, probably get home 11, 12, I don't know, late as shit at night, you know what I mean? Wake up early in the morning, right? I got to meet with another pastor about the meeting, man. This meeting I don't even go to, man, to keep the relationship, man, with the group and the church together, you know what I mean? Leave that, right? Then go meet with a sponsee, man. Do a four-step, man. It's gonna take about 4 hours, probably about 5 hours, man. Sit down there with him, man. Just do a four-step, man. Help sew them back together, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And service, man. Service is the rent, man, I pay to stay here. Mm-hmm. That's the rent. Mm-hmm. I've been around here to understand, man. You know, I ain't gonna say all the time, you know what God's will is for me. Right, but I know it's to help somebody. Mm-hmm. I know it's to be a part of his fellowship. Mm-hmm. I know it's to be in position. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm telling you. There was a guy I was driving home years ago. I was coming from Cincinnati. I was speaking in Cincinnati. And I had one of these in my window of my truck. And I don't know why he asked me if he had a ride home. He lived out in White Moss. I was living on Cherry Hill. I said, come on, get in the car, guy. Try to take you home. When they got my truck, he seen this thing right here. He said, I knew it was something different about you. He said, my mother got like 26 years clean, but she ain't got no fucking recovery. And she crazy as a motherfucker, right? You know what I mean? Can you help me in my recovery? He said, I'm trying to get clean right now, man. Can you show me where the meeting's at, man? Can you be there for me? I'm talking about, man, how it's like attraction rather than promotion, man, right? When you begin to practice principles over your personalities, man, God will illuminate in you, man, and people will attract to you, man, through your spirit. Yeah. You can stay around through so motherfucking long, whereas though your image come up, man, whereas though you become unapproachable, man. You know what I mean? Carrying a message, man, sharing every motherfucking way, but people can't approach your ass because you're too fucking high up.
Yeah.
I see it all the time. I was in service over there in Bachman. You know what I mean? They was firing motherfuckers over there in service. I like, you fire motherfucker that's getting you. You know what I'm saying, man? How you taping up letters, you know what I mean? For motherfuckers that's freely given to this program. Because they're not following your agenda. So, they say if you don't like something in service, get involved. You know what I mean? So I'm the vice chair for the executive board. all been backing us. Got the opportunity to make a difference. You know what I mean? So listen, man, life is, I ain't gonna teach people the whole meeting, right? But life is good, man. You know what I mean? And 10, 11, and 12, man, is a thing that's gonna keep me in the groove of life, right? Because one thing about life, man, change is constant, right? And I gotta practice this program to stay in a flow of change, or stay the same. Thanks a lot, Michelle.
Love you, man.
Thanks. Love you, too.
I'd like to thank Dean. Appreciate you coming all this way and sharing. Now I want to introduce our second speaker, Kevin R. from Capture the Miracle. Right? Thanks, Kevin.
I'm an addict. My name's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Thank you much, Dean. I appreciate you, man. And I'm standing listening to you share, and I'm just relating to you on so many different levels, and that's. You know, that's the power that I found in Narcotics Anonymous, is that power of identification. You know, the promises that we get here, the end of the loneliness, the sense of direction in my life. You know, it's true. And each time I hear someone share another addict, whether it's at my home group, a discussion meeting, or a place like this, and I get that identification, I know that I'm in the right place. You know, it's an honor to be asked to do anything on Narcotics Anonymous. You know, when it's time to speak, they ask you to speak, you know, and you know, the program in Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. Has saved my life more than one time. I got here, I was young. I came in and out of the program. I was one of those kids that, you know, I got in some trouble and whatnot, and ended up in treatment. And, you know, each time I would go back and go try to get this back together, I would have the greatest of intentions, but I did not put in the work. I did not work the steps. And ultimately, you know, the end of the road for me was ugly. And that last night out there, if you don't forget that last night, if that pain that from the last night or last day or your last hit does not stay close to you, then you're subject to go back and do it again. And I remember that last hit. I remember that last night. It was terrible. And, you know, I was blessed to find this program young. You know, I got clean when I was 18 years old. I was 18 and a half years old when I got clean. I found it earlier than that. You know, and I did what, like a lot of us do, I looked at all the reasons why I didn't belong here. And so those first attempts at trying to get clean, I pushed myself right back out the door because I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I wasn't like this. What do you know, a couple years later, I saw the back of a police car. I did different harder drugs. I got involved in violence, all those things. And you know, a wonderful lady who was clean in Pittsburgh when I got clean, she was someone who we all looked up to and has a very, very legacy in this process. Her name was Dot Tally. She would talk about, you know, that I'm looking out at a room full of felons. You're either a known felon or an unknown felon. And I certainly was in the unknown category. But Narcotics Anonymous worked for me. When I come into the program and I finally surrendered, I did what you told me to do. And it was for the first time in my life, I started to feel like I was a part of something special. And I went hard at it. I went hard at my recovery. I got involved in home group service, all those things. And for a good solid maybe 8 years, I was on that solid path of recovery. I served in our convention. I served a home group. I mean, I was so crazy. So I had too many positions at one time. I had to give them up and all that. You know, I was, you know, people say sometimes, when you stick around, you're going to play all the parts here. That's been the case for me. You know, I've been the NA pity story, the NA know-it-all, the NA police. I've been all that. And each step of the way, I was allowed to keep coming back. You told me keep coming back. You knew, you know me, and you knew me. And anyway, you know, I get to that point in my life where after a period of time, I started slowing down. I started not having so many home groups. I started not going to so many commitments. I'm not going to conventions. My life started, come together. Some people say, well, you know, I didn't get clean to hide in them rooms. Well, I never had that attitude, but I can certainly tell you that the disease of addiction for me creeps up on me in different ways. It doesn't always come in the front door. It'll come in a side door, up from underneath, down through the ceiling, and that's what happened to me. And you know, from like probably 8, 9 years clean up until I had about 20 years clean, I practiced for a long stretch what I look now, I call drive-by recovery. You know, I would have a home group. And I would be there every week for 6 months, Dean. I helped start a meeting, gave it a name. It was called A New Beginning. You know why? Because I made the home group by me. Because Kevin's recommitting. All of a sudden now, we have to change the name of a group for me because I'm back. I'm going to have a home group. And for 6 months, I was there every week, every Thursday night. And then I didn't go. And then I wasn't there. You know, I would go to a meeting two nights in a row and then not for 4 weeks. And this went on for years. And some of the things that you were sharing about with that young man you picked up in the car and his mother had 20-some years clean, I found myself after, and I'm telling you, Narcotics Anonymous worked for me. Narcotics Anonymous was good to me. I had a sponsor, he's still my sponsor, who loved on me, who was patient with me, who helped me get through steps and helped me to change. And I went through all that. And I could, when I had 20 years clean, I could have turned around and showed you the trail behind me. That by many standards of the world and of this life and of the recovery process, one would say, wow, that's been a success story. I had some papers hanging on the wall that supposed to represent that I know some shit. I had keys to buildings and people got to ask me if they can have a day off, and I had a beautiful wife and a car, all that shit. And at 20 years clean, I was empty inside all over again, almost like, and the only thing that didn't happen to me was that, and it was not through any doing of mine, it was through the grace of a God that has rekindled a fire in me and in my life. But the only thing that happened, I didn't take the first one. My clean date stayed the same. My pee stayed clean through no credit to me, credit to my God. I found myself at 20 years clean in a store where my 13-year-old was being a 13-year-old. And he bumped the back of my leg with a shopping cart. And I turned around and I raised this little boy and I'm looking at him with hatred in my heart. I saw me take that shopping cart in my head and I was gonna shove this thing and hurt this boy. And I stopped myself and I spit at him. That's crazy. That is not a representative, just like that lady you were talking about. He was probably in the same thing. My dad got time clean, we better get his shit together. We'll get him to a meeting. And he didn't know that. I did damage through that period of my life. I took all those gifts that God gave me that I thought represented some kind of success in life, and I was stepping all over them. That beautiful wife would tell me, why don't you fix the door? It's broke on the bathroom door. Oh, it's broke? It needs fixed? Is it any fit? Really? The door won't open? And I went over and I broke that door down. That wasn't my house. That's the house was a gift from God. My wife is a gift from God. That's how I was taking care of the gifts that I was given. With 20 years clean. You were talking about being full of ourselves, taking credit for those things. I remember, you know, I was given, and I don't know if God plays jokes on the world or not, but he put a crazy addict with a clean date and no steps and no recovery, very little spirituality in his life, and put him in a position of authority. And I would tell my boss, nobody fucks with Kevin. Kevin does the fucking around here. Who the hell did I think I was? I was telling a new sponsee the other night. I'm getting on I-70 over towards Washington, PA. That's where I'm from. And some little crazy kid, 20-year-old, whatever, he's coming up the ramp behind me. He tapped me in the back of the car. Now, let me be very certain and clear with you. I am not a law enforcement officer, okay? That is not my career job ever. I get out of my car, I walk back to this guy, and I say, give me a license and registration. Double digit clean time. That's supposed to mean something around there. Right? People see you come to the meeting when you speak, heavy hitter. Heavy hitter my ass. Yeah. You know, I should have been, I'm living crazy with a clean date. And I had these gifts that God gave me. My baby girl was born. I'm not taking care of the gifts God gave me because I lost track. See, I lost my way on this journey of recovery. I lost my way with clean time. But you know, I can tell you, I have an educated opinion about this because it's my lived experience. You know, I love it when someone is, you know, that's fresh out of rehab with all the answers, like I was at one point in my life. Well, clean time doesn't matter. I can tell you that from experience. Get a little bit of experience. I had some experience. I can tell you that. And I'm embarrassed. I should have been arrested. I should have had, my wife should have left me. I should have been fired from jobs. You understand? But I wasn't. And there was one reason only. And that was because there was a God of my understanding mm-hmm. looking out for me. Although I didn't really understand God at that time. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother, I hope I have a few minutes left. Because the 11th step turned that whole situation around for me and has changed my life and shaped the, what's become the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So there I was, acting like I'm a cop when people run into me in a car, telling my boss about himself, breaking down doors of my house, spitting on my kid in stores, screaming at people in stores. That's how I'm living with 20 years clean. On a Saturday night, much like the night, it was actually about this time of year. Shit. It was August 20-something, 30. It was closer to the end of the month. I'm doing what every addict with 20 years clean should be doing on a Saturday night. I'm sitting around a table with guys that are drinking, playing cards. Okay? One of them, I had helped a couple years earlier. See, I helped this guy, but I had 18 years clean. This dude had some issues. And you know, me fooling myself, because I'm the one that built all this, right? I swoop in and I help him and I get him plugged in. I remember telling people, I opened up the doors of 18 years of recovery to help this guy. That was my ego. Mm-hmm. That was the crazy diseased poison mind that I walked around with and hardened heart and just arrogant, just crazy. And here this dude is, and he's drinking again, and we're playing the cards, and things, one thing got to another, someone says something. Next thing I know, I'm standing up and I'm ready, I'm calling him out. I'm flipping things around, and I said some really hurtful, insultful shit to this guy in front of my son, the one I spit on. And I was like, fuck this, we're leaving, come on, let's go. With tears in his eyes, he looked at me and says, I don't want to go nowhere with you. Wasn't a choice. No, big boss man's here, you understand? You are coming with me. Listen, I was not hard in the street. I was not the man. Nobody was looking for me or afraid of me. You know, I don't get style points in life. I just was just a schlup that liked to use drugs and get high and take it from you. You know, my big heist was slithering on the ground like a Navy SEAL or maybe a Navy walrus and trying to get up in my mom's purse to get some couple dollars to go get high. That was my big heist. True to form, I leave. I make this big scene, this big exit. Yeah, you're lucky. I go around the side of the house. Dude's car's blocking me in. So I had to come back around the corner like, hey, man, you want to let me out? The next day, I pick up the phone and I call my sponsor, the person who had been there for me from early, early on in my journey. Person who I had walked away from. I pushed away from this bountiful harvest of recovery all them years. In and, you know, not in and out, but like I said, it was inconsistent, you know. And I gave it to him. This guy's an asshole and he doesn't understand what I did for him. And he let me go on. Man, my sponsor's patient. That's like in the job requirement for sponsorship, mm-hmm. is patience. And I'm reminded of that because he reminds me of that whenever I'm complaining to him about a guy sponsor. You don't remember? I said, okay, yeah, never mind, you know. As soon as I got done giving him the blah, 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 he said, well, you know you got to work a 10-step with him. Wait, did you just hear what I told you? Did you hear the details of the story? I'm sorry, were you paying attention to this? And for the first time in my sponsor's relationship with me, he said to me, Kevin, you can't expect to get what this program has to offer you if you want to pick and choose the parts of it you want to work. I ain't telling you what to do. It was the first time he puffed up on me like that. And in an instant, after having lived with this crazy man, breaking down doors, spitting on their kid, doing all this crazy shit, in an instant, something happened in me. God zapped me. Through my sponsor, and in an instant, I immediately downed the dude, and I immediately did what he told me to do, and worked that 10th step. And you know what how I look back at that now. That was in August, somewhere around August 29th of 2010. It was like what I now look back at as the recovery AED machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know they put that shit on you and zap you back to bring you back? In an instant, I started heading down a new direction because of that 10th step. I had known about the 10th step, but see, when you're full of yourself and you're full of disease and you let yourself, you know, think that you've arrived, you know, then the steps don't have that same value. Mm. And that was the first time. It was the most honest thing I had done for years in my life. And everything about my life has gotten better since that moment. Everything. It didn't all happen at once. You know, y'all was talking about, service work, and I heard other people today talking about service work, how important it is. I gotta tell you, when I recommitted, I did Narcotics Anonymous a favor. Because I had people, oh, Kev, you're back. Come on, we need a chair for this. We need the regional delegate for that. We need, let me learn how to be a member again.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
You know, let me join a home group and actually stay with it and actually do the real glamorous work, like emptying some trash cans. Mm. I mean, when I got clean, we used to empty ashtrays. We don't smoke in the rooms anymore. You know, me and that guy right there would mop the floor maybe once a month or so. Put the chairs away. Let me learn how to be a home group member again and do you all a favor, because you don't need the guy that spits on people coming to any area service, okay? You know, and true to form for me, because I'm a complicated dude, it was like, I took about, you know, 5-6 weeks to interview home groups, because now that I'm back, I need a group that can handle me. You understand? I need a group. And so you know what I did? Because I was isolated from the message, I was isolated from the help, I picked a big, crazy home group where the newcomers would come, where the sounds of recovery, when I hear the babies are there, the people are puffing the vapes, when they're running in and out the door, the ankle bracelets, those are the sounds of recovery. And I remember, I show up, and it was a big home group, I don't even know how many home group members, at one time I had 40 home group members, Bob. I'm standing at the door greeting people. Me, I'm out of nowhere. They don't know who I am. People have been going to that meeting for years. Who is this motherfucker guy telling me, welcome, we're glad you're here. You know? Like, I'm a home group member. Who is this new guy, you know? And you know what? It was the most amazing thing to me to feel like a newcomer all over again. I remember going to a picnic on a Sunday at Mingo Park, and I had my son. See, here was part of the problem with me. That's God started putting these gifts in my life, and I start forgetting that, you know, the rules don't change when you get the gifts. The rules don't change when you get a job, when you get a car, when you got a 700 some credit score, whatever. Mm-hmm. The rules don't, when you got babies, when you got a beautiful wife. The rules ain't supposed to change. So unlike with my oldest two kids, I got to let this little toddler. I don't want to spit on him. I'm taking him with me to the meetings. I'm taking my wife. She's taking this one to practice, this one here. This one got an appointment. Back when the other ones were little, I would not go to a meeting because I can't take a kid to a meeting. Oh, they might hear the F word. You know, they're going to like... The people that saved my life, the people that gave me the opportunity to have those gifts through God, I didn't want them to meet you. How crazy is that? That's crazy talk. So my little guy was one of these NA kids all of a sudden. And I remember taking him to that picnic, and Ashley and Nick, they ain't together no more. You know how that goes. This Ashley comes up and treated me like the newcomer, 20 plus years clean. Hey, you need to go to the meeting. I can watch your son while you're at the meeting. Young lady had 18 months clean. She was giving me the love of Narcotics Anonymous that I needed. And you know what? I let it wash all over me. I didn't care. I didn't want to be the guy who thought he was an authority person. I didn't want to be someone with a clean. I was getting fed and getting nourished by the love of addicts. I remember Drew on Sunday night. This kid Drew. He came up to me and was like, man, you know, here's some literature over here, and we read this book. And I was like, I was so taken back by the love that I was getting from these people who I did not know. And it was like Narcotics Anonymous was saving my life for a second time. It got better. And you know, what I wasn't aware of, I will quote the basic text, Dean. Because the basic text says, who is an addict, we don't have to understand the program in order for it to work for us. I didn't really know where I was going. But I can tell you, 3 years after that 10th step zapped the life back into this guy, I get a call from the NA World Services, because I registered to go to a convention in Philadelphia. We want you to chair the 10th step meeting. What? I'm driving across that turnpike with two dudes that had been soldiers in my life the whole time I was here. And I realized the day we were in the car heading to the World Convention, that was 3 years to the day that I was gonna fight dude and my kids crying and I had to make this little exit scene. My God, what had changed in 3 years. World Convention? I was barely showing up at a meeting down the street from my house. It goes on. I continued the process. After that little bit of time, I did get back involved. And not with this, not full of this ego, not full of this bullshit. With an attitude of gratitude, because I don't want to live. I got two reference points. The shit I came from, the crack house that I came out of on January the 6th of 1990, that morning when the people were going to work and we were coming out of there at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. I have that reference point that I don't want to go back and live like that. And I have the reference point of being clean, having a clean date, and living like an animal, living at that animal level. Yeah. Animals spit at their young, Dean.
Yeah.
Animals do that. Animals want to hurt their wife. That's what I was in my head. And I have that second reference point. So Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life twice. And just when I thought it couldn't get any better, I start going through this because I do have a position of blessings, a position of responsibility, whatnot. And I travel a little bit for work, and it was in the fall of 2018, about this time of year. I had a couple of trips going. I started thinking to myself, you know, I'm getting a little older. My wife's getting a little older. I go out of town. I hit a meeting when I'm in Harrisburg or State College. I go to these conferences in Las Vegas. There's pretty girls at them meetings. You know, I've been with my wife for a long time, and I've not stepped out of my marriage. At that point, and still to this day, thank you. There's an app, Tinder? What is this shit I'm hearing about, you know? I started looking outside of myself. Now, I got my recovery back together, right? I'm going to meetings. You know, I'm sponsoring. I'm using my sponsor. I'm praying. I'm doing all those things. And something was missing in my life. Something was missing in here. You understand? I started thinking, I got to go back to school again. I keep going back to school because I think the more paper you get and these titles, it's supposed to make you special. I was looking outside of myself. I started praying. My sponsor was like, you know, we got 11 step too, Kevin. You know, that 10 step was nice. It put you back in spot. How about that 11 step? Where are we at with that? So I started praying and meditating to get that relationship, to seek that conscious contact. See, because I thought I understood God. Because I had all that behind me. I told you I had a resume. I had all these accomplishments. God was good to me. Kevin, you've been clean so long. You got this, you got that. I didn't even know who God was. Mm-hmm. And you know what? For anybody that's been around, if you're newer, that works. Narcotics Anonymous allowed me to have that power greater than myself, that generic God, that generic higher power, for as long as I did. I was almost 29 years clean at this point, 47 years old, looking outside of myself. Things happened, and I can tell you about it because it's a long story. But let me tell you how that part of this trip ends. I'm with this guy. The night before, I'm sharing in a meeting, and I'm telling this dude about an experience I was having because I was seeking God. And dude says to me, "Well, Kevin, you weren't able to do such and such because when you're ready for that, you can't go buy it. God's going to give it to you." 24 hours later, I'm at a Penguin hockey game. Bob had season tickets. No offense, I really wasn't into going, but he would ask me all the time and I would always tell him no. This particular night, for some reason, I said yes. He must have asked me a dozen times before that. He's, "By the way, my brother's coming. He's bringing a guy from work, da 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 da." And I'm like, gosh, now I really don't want to go, but I already told him I was going to go. I'm in the back of the car. We're doing our thing. We get to the game. It's intermission, second intermission. And dude sitting next to me is a stranger to me. I'm like, "Oh, you work with Bob's brother." "I don't work with his brother." "What the fuck is this guy?" I said, "What do you do?" He goes, "I'm so-and-so, and I do such-and-such, and I bring addicts to God." What? Now, the night before, I had this thing with this dude in the program, and I don't like this dude in the program from the night before, I gotta tell you. He was always on my nerves. he had 2 years clean, and he's trying to save me and get me involved. And I'm like, did you get points for this? Is that you got to bring people into your situation? The dude next to me at the game says, well, you're looking at me kind of funny. What's up? I said, well, you know, I'm going through a thing. I'm an addict, and I want to be with God. He says, well, Kevin, the reason why the situation that you was talking about didn't work, because when you're ready to receive God, you can't buy it. It's got to be given to you. And I have it for you. You just have to come to my office next week, and I'll give it to you. Now, I'm sitting there. I said, well, Billy Joe put you up to this, didn't he? Billy Joe was the guy the night before. Who's Billy Joe? A perfect stranger telling me exact words that were said to me the night before by this guy in a program I don't like. And I'm seeking God. I'm seeking to have a relationship. And even at that, this was like a big moment for me, right? A big announcement, a big poof. I still was not sure. Like, oh, okay, this isn't real. A couple days later, something happened to me, man. I was in the back of the car, I'm praying, and all of a sudden I was overwhelmed. And my whole life flashed before my eyes, man. And it was the first time in my whole life that I truly believed that I understand who God is. Mm-hmm. And I believe, and I committed myself to this new journey. And I got to tell you, I thought everything changed when I got clean. I thought everything changed when I got recommitted. It ain't been nothing but what's happened to me these last 5.5 years. And it's taken me to places I never thought I would be. And that's the power the 11th step had for me. Uh-huh. You know, I sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. I know my purpose now. Uh-huh. My purpose has been revealed to me. I'm going to talk about me. I don't know about you. Maybe you think I'm crazy. I'm here to stay clean, to help others stay clean. I'm here to know and have a relationship with God of my understanding, to be among others that do that too, to use the gifts that I've been given to help people and to spread that around. That's my purpose. And the last part of it, you know, is that 12th step. And, you know, the thing is, I start walking. These guys in fitness. I'm a newcomer again. 2 months ago, on the 20th of June, my 22-year-old daughter looked me in the eyes and said, Dad, I need you around. I was 388 pounds. I don't know how much. Guess how much I weigh, Dean? I don't know. I have no idea. Honestly, I don't really care. I know I'm not 388 pounds right now. She looked me in the eyes and told me, I need you around. Dad, I mm-hmm. want you to walk me down the aisle one day. You're not going to sick me with my brothers, are you? Mm. 24 hours later, I'm in Philadelphia at the convention, East Coast, and a young lady who's speaking at the pavilion down there shared. It was her turn to share. She lost her dad 10 years ago. See, God sends messages to me through people. He sent soldiers out uh-huh. to gather me up. This young lady, who I've known for a few years and I have a lot of admiration for, was talking about how hard Father's Day was. It was Father's Day weekend after Father's Day. I miss my dad. He's been gone 10 years. I wish I could hear his voice again. I wish he could see my children and know them. This is 24 hours after my daughter asked me and looked me in the eyes and asked me to stick around. And then if that wasn't enough, because I am a hardhead, my sponsor, who's battling cancer again, the next day at that convention, pulls me aside, tells me he's worried about my health. He's in a battle of his life. He's worried about me. The 24th, today's the 24th, so exactly 2 months today, I woke up in that morning and I changed. Mm-hmm. I changed. I asked God for help. The helper showed up, and I ain't looked back. I walk like 5 miles a day.
That's right.
I don't eat nothing out of a bag. It's fruit, it's vegetables, it's meat, it's cheese. And I don't know what I'm doing. Kevin, what plan are you on? Hey, no, I'm on the plan of not fucking kill myself. It's the plan I'm on. Is it this? Is it keto? Is it you get shots in your leg? No, it's none of that. It's none of that. I pray to God. You understand? I told my doctor, I'm on God's Zempic, is what I told him. Because I told him, I said, I'm on a drug. I didn't get it from you. I got it off the street. It's free. It's available 24/7. He looked at me all crazy. He knows I'm in recovery. And I said, I call it God's Zempic. I don't know. Is my time's up? The 10th, 11th, and 12th step have and continue to save my life. I love Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Kid.
Thanks, Gil. All right, Scott. I appreciate you, man, as always.